Greetings and welcome to the Productcast, also known as the Prodcast. This is your window into the UK's thriving gift industry, covering everything from product design to sales, retail and beyond. The Prodcast is brought to you by Gift of the Year and supported by the Giftware Association. I'm your host, Alex Ryan. I'm a marketing consultant and founder of the agency Marketing 101. Each week I'll be interviewing an expert from our wonderfully hardworking community. And this week I'm very excited to bring our first ever buyer to the Prodcast microphone, Sarah Albright from John Lewis. Hi, Sarah. How are you doing?
Hi, Alex. I'm good. Thank you. On the last stretch into Christmas now, so all
yes.
Fun and games.
Yes, we are close, actually, aren't we? It's not far. So our time of recording is the 17th of December, and you'll remember that date because not only is it the first ever podcast that you have been a guest on, welcome. It's also my birthday today, so a memorable day.
Happy birthday
for everyone. Thank you very much. Very kind. Very kind.
You're a birthday twin with my mum, actually. Funny enough, it's my mum's birthday too today.
Really? Oh, well, happy birthday, Mummy Albright. That's excellent. how marvellous. We like to start the podcast with a bit of a, I don't know if it's an icebreaker or if it's just a way of getting through the introductions quickly. A little game called Quick Pro Go, where you take 30 seconds to introduce yourself, and I will take 30 seconds to introduce the business that you work for, which was very easy research this time. Sometimes it can be quite difficult to come up with 30 seconds for a business, but John Lewis, relatively well known, I guess you could say. So it was nice and easy for me. Are you up for the challenge, Sarah?
I can give it a go. I don't know how interesting it's going to be, but I'll give it a try.
I'm sure you'll do fine. I'm sure you'll do fine. And don't be put off. I am going to hold a clock up to make sure that you stick to your time. I'll give you 3, 2, 1 and then go for it. Let's learn about Sarah Albright. Here we go. 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay. Hi, everyone. Blimey, what to say? Well, at the moment, I'm in the midst of having recently moved house. So our world is revolving around that. So I can hear my other half in the background complaining about our new front door, which has just been delivered and not quite what we wanted it to be. So we're, lot being fitted out, all those kinds of things that happen. And we're one of the masses that moved from the city to the town during lockdown.
Amazing. Do you know what? That's fantastic. Most people go down the hobbies, pets. I've been in this trade for this many years, down that route. You've gone for a real snapshot of your life right now. And you've painted a beautiful picture. So thank you. Thank you for that.
The epitome of lockdown, working from home, I think has made me slightly obsessed with my home because it's the only place I seem to be these days.
Well, we know nothing else right now. That's all we know. And I feel your pain. I'm also on a building site where having work done all round. I'm having to ask them very kindly to shush every time I record this podcast. So so Christmas presents for them for certain. But yeah, I feel your pain. So I'm going to take 30 seconds to introduce John Lewis. Now, everyone knows so much about John Lewis. I thought this time I'd go down the route of facts, interesting facts about John Lewis. I hope your knowledge is good enough to correct me if I'm wrong at the end of all these.
I hope so, but it's just reminding me of when I had my first interview and I quoted some very untrue facts about John Lewis because I was very unprepared, but they still gave me the job, luckily. But I won't say what I said, but it was wildly inaccurate.
Oh, do please tell us the wildly inaccurate fact. I'd love to. We've said it's inaccurate, so we're not fooling anyone.
I think I got it very confused with M&S. I can't remember what it was. It was something that was correct of M&S's history, but not of John Lewis's. But obviously, I wouldn't, after probably nearly 17, 18 years, I wouldn't say that anymore.
No, of course not. Not the other retailer to get confused with. Definitely not the done thing. Oh, good stuff. Well, I'm sure you'll know all of this, but our listeners at home may not. So if you would kindly give me a 3, 2, 1 go, and I will start the clock for myself.
Okay. 3, 2, 1 go.
Okay, John Lewis was founded in 1864 and it was originally a drapery store on Oxford Street. It took Mr. John Lewis 41 years to acquire his second store in Sloane Square. 156 years later, there are 50 stores, or 51, which you, if you include johnlewis.com, which I definitely think you should, there are 36 department stores, 12 John Lewis at home, and the shops at St. Pancras and the Heathrow Terminal too. You've got 40,000 employees, and although people may see John Lewis Waitrose partnership as a recent thing, it's actually been owned by John Lewis since 1937. Isn't that crazy? 1937, that partnership.
I know, it's slightly bonkers.
Amazing. Yeah, I was fascinated when I came across the Waitrose stat, only because I think it was only in the last, you know, I say few years, it's probably more like a decade, and it's my mind playing tricks on me, that those kind of joint adverts have come out where people have been very aware that it's a partnership. So it felt like a recent thing. But that's 83 years.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I still think there's a lot of people that really, it's still unknown territory for a lot of people that it is the same business. But at the moment, we're doing a lot of work around putting more John Lewis branded product into Waitrose over the next year or so. So I think it will start to become more easily recognisable as all the kind of non-food product starts to transform into John Lewis branded product. So that's keeping us busy right now.
Fantastic. Yeah, I have to say that, you know, I'm a Waitrose shopper, and the gift aisle is always very food orientated. I'm excited about its expansion. That sounds fantastic. I'd like a lot more of that in there. So yeah. Oh, brilliant. And can you talk us through, I guess, your job title, if I remember correctly from our previous discussion, is buyer of gifts and candle shop.
Yeah.
You're also the buyer for gift experiences, artificial flowers, games and quizzes. Is that kind of a fair synopsis?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's a fair synopsis. Probably not entirely fair on my team of assistant buyers who do a great job themselves at owning some of those categories.
Well, yeah, so they do all the real work. We know how it works.
Exactly. So I can't take huge amounts of credit for all of the time, but yeah, it's quite a wide, diverse area, and we always have the question of what is a gift in a department store context, because obviously, you know, we've got big fashion departments, big tech areas, we have separate gift food areas,
and cosmetics.
Could argue, yeah, we've got beauty hall, what's actually left, but as we've always found working with the Gift Association, there's plenty of stuff still on the table for us to work within the specific gift department that John Lewis has. But I think that's also why we have lots of other product areas under our umbrella, and seeing the great picture of a dog behind you, pets, is one of our new areas. So pet gifting, something we've really started to expand and grow as everyone's bought their pets in lockdown. So lots of jazzy bandanas and collars and even puzzles for their dogs to do whilst we're all stuck at home. So yeah, we're always adding new products.
It's a fascinating category, definitely. Pet gift, I'm sure it can only continue to grow. I think especially as you're getting a lot more a lot less traditional families, and a lot more couples who are less interested in having kids. And I've got lots of friends who the dog is their baby. That's it. You know, they're not interested in anything more than that. And are you based, I mean, obviously you're based at home like the rest of us at the moment, but normally are you based in the Oxford Street store? Is that where your HQ is?
No, we actually have our offices at Victoria in London.
Convenient.
So if anyone knows Victoria Street, it's quite a recognisable building, I think probably from the 60s or 70s maybe, that surrounds the big Catholic cathedral on Victoria Street. So yeah, it's unmissable.
Wow, fantastic. And you, how long did you say 17 years?
Yeah, I'm probably about 17 and a half now, because it was the summer that I finished university that I started in John Lewis. So yeah.
Wow, straight out of university, thought you were going to work for M&S, ended up working for John Lewis. Do you know, very quick side story. My father did a very similar thing, went for a job interview for what he thought was Lloyd's, the bank, but was actually Lloyd's of London, the insurance group, completely different trades, and got the job. I'm not saying you did think you were applying for Marks and Spencers, but he really did think he was applying for a bank. So these things happen. Fantastic. I was going to ask about how you kind of got into this trade, but you know, straight out of university, there probably isn't a great deal of story there. But was it planned, or were you just looking for a job, just any job, as we all are when we finish education?
Yeah, well, I did. My degree was in textile design, and probably when I was heading into the third year of that, kind of talking to the tutors, I know I still really liked design, but was not seeing that as what I would probably do as a job. And it's a massively difficult area to get into. And I'd always been quite strong academically as well. So one of the tutors was like, well, you should look at buying. And I was like, well, no one ever knows what buying is. You know, quite a lot of people think that I literally just do work in a shop, because you never really think about how product gets to a shop and why it's there. And we're the missing link, so to speak. Mm. So she suggested that I look into that. And at a very similar time, my dad had been made redundant. So I think I was in a mindset of must get a job. It's important to have a job. Can't just kind of finish uni and not do anything. It was very conscientious of me at that age, I'm sure.
Yeah,
very. So just applied for a few things. And probably out of the things I applied for, John Lewis was the retailer, obviously, as I mentioned, that I probably knew least about because I never lived particularly near one. And at that stage, kind of, you know, online retailing was still in its very early days. So kind of unless you live nearby to one, it's probably not something you were exposed to. So, yeah, kind of came in for an interview, I think was very fortuitous timing, although they did get me to do a very random but they were kind of a maths and an English test, and I think I scored very highly on them that they'd not seen before, but thinking about it now, one of the questions was to think of as many uses for a brick as you could. I don't know what they were looking for, but I wrote a very long list, so I think that was obviously very impressive. Yeah,
that's one of those really outside the box questions, isn't it? Where they're trying to see about if you can think on your feet and laterally. Wow.
Exactly. Yeah. And they're just, I mean, there was a buyer with a vacancy, a lady called Caitlin, who was the buyer of lampshades and bases at the time, which again shows how much the business is involved, that you'd have a buyer of lampshades and bases because there was always also a buyer of lighting. So it was a very different world.
Was there another
then.
One for bulbs as well?
Yeah, oh, pretty much. So yeah, and she luckily she must have liked me and kind of went from there. Started. It wasn't actually called buying at John Lewis back then. We were just kind of administrative assistants. I think we were called AAs. I seem to remember because we didn't have a merchandising function. Back then, which we've since joined in as part of the business. So yeah, it started there in several offices, including furniture, Christmas, gift food, stationery, wall decor for a while. Later landed through different levels, assistant buyer, junior buyer, as a buyer of gifts. And actually it's one of the longest times I've been on a department. It's probably about six years now I've been doing it. So hence why I've kind of got quite close ties with the guys at the Gift Association, because I think I've stuck around for a while.
It's amazing. I mean, I don't know of any buyers. I mean, as you and the listeners as well by now will know, I did my time at Paladone, 6 years there, and I met a fair few buyers, and I don't think many of them had that intent. I don't think they started as buyers. I think they started in other areas around the business, you know, sometimes even, as you said, literally on the shop floor. So that's you're a lifer. You're a buyer for life, and not just a buyer for life. You're a John Lewis buyer
for life.
Yeah.
My blood runs green, as they say.
is that the phrase, is it, for the John
Lewis?
Yeah,
well,
lifers.
Probably in the old days when our branding was green. I don't know whether we probably would say it anymore. Now we've gone for a black logo, but it always used to be, because the chairman used to write in green ink, and green was very much the John Lewis colour of choice.
I have to ask, before we get on to proper questions, which I promise we do get there eventually, but I'm fascinated by people with kind of such niche jobs, especially the, you know, kind of buying roles like this. And I'm going to ask you something. I hope you've got an amazing answer for me. What's the most amazing candle you've ever seen? Because you, of all people, must have been exposed to more candles than most. 6 years as a buyer, you must have seen some blinding candles. Not literally, but.
Yeah. I think probably kind of, for me, taking on the category is probably, I suppose, some of the premium end of the candle home fragrance market, and actually the size and the price point of candles. I mean, at John Lewis, we probably top out at, I don't know, £300-350
for a candle.
Exactly. But they do get bigger and more impressive. But also, kind of probably my favorite thing on most categories is going to the factories and seeing how things are made. I suppose for me, probably the most interesting things relating to candles is how they make dinner candles. And when you start to think about it and imagining how the wick gets down the thin piece of wax, you probably kind of get into the territory of, yeah, how on earth does that actually happen? It's quite hard to describe, but it's basically lots of hanging wicks all very close together, threaded through a machine that's got lots of tubes in, and those wicks are going through the tubes, and then they pour wax over it, almost like a table, and push it down those tubes, and then it sets, and then they cut the bottom and the top off, which probably doesn't describe it hugely well, but I always find kind of machines that do things uber fascinating.
I'm heading to YouTube after this to have a look. I'm sure I'll find a video. I completely understand. I think I saw a video of some mugs being handmade. Well, the, you know, the porcelain was factory made, but the painting was being handmade, and some little decals being applied. And I mean, the speed and the skill of the workers just was mind blowing. But who knew that, you know, mugs are generally hand painted? You know, they don't get run through some printer. Round, you know, it doesn't work that way. So yeah, fascinating.
Yeah, oh, amazing. I'd highly recommend also a tinsel making process, which they do in Wales, but that is also over fascinating, and it's quite like making candy floss at one point in the process. So if anyone's bored during probably what will be our next lockdown, start YouTubing that one too.
I love that's going on the advert. Top tip from Sarah Albright. all the suppliers' ears will prick up, and it'll be, check out videos of how they make tinsel. So you mentioned the Giftware Association already. And what's your kind of relationship with them? I know you're a judge for the Gift of the Year.
Yeah, I've done Gift of the Year judging probably, I would have thought, at least for the last 5 or 6 years. And we've worked closely with the Gift Association for probably longer. So we've done various things, so I'll come in and talk to people and try and spread my useful knowledge, if it is at all that, to people. But we also have done meet the buyers sessions in various guises, almost like mini trade shows sometimes, but actually as well, historically, in one of my previous roles, I worked really closely with Sarah in one of her previous lives at a supplier, so actually know her really well, kind of on a one-to-one level. So now she's kind of been heading up everything, but it's been great to kind of be working with her again, and the team are all fab at kind of really supporting the giftware industry and kind of bringing new things to the fore, and kind of really supporting, I think they've done a lot in recent years in supporting up-and-coming suppliers and trying to get new brands through, whilst kind of maintaining the strong relationship with the more established players in the market.
Yeah, I think they're a big part of that funnel to drive new suppliers and into the kind of in front of some mainstream opportunities, perhaps, and draw them forwards like that. And I think it's really important that people can have that platform of assistance, really. You know, whenever I speak to someone, and I speak to quite a lot of people as you know, kind of product marketing expert about bringing a new product to market, and it's always the Giftware Association, even if they're only very slightly on the gift side of things, still point them in that direction. It's a great place to start, I think, and get that bit of advice. Gift of the year, you mentioned then. What's it like being a judge? Because we've spoken to one other judge so far on the podcast, but we didn't really get into it too much. What's the actual process like? Because you've begun judging now for this year, haven't you?
Yeah, so this year will be slightly different, but normal process is very similar at this stage. So we'll be going onto the Gift of the Year website and starting to look through all the submissions for each of the categories, see what's come through. Kind of there's some imagery and some blurb around the products, and at this stage it's really about shortlisting, because as you would expect, especially on some categories, there's loads of entrants. So it's really kind of thinking about kind of what you're looking for in terms of what stands out in those categories, and the drive is always making sure there's new product in there, which is always an interesting one for me in terms of how we work with suppliers quite far in advance. So I'll see things, I think that's not new, and then I think to myself, oh yeah, of course it's not actually in the shops yet, we just saw it 6 months ago when they showed us a drawing on a screen or yeah, something like that. So we'd kind of do all that this side of Christmas. Pre-COVID world, then we'd have followed up with a judging day, which was a really full-on day of kind of seeing, feeling, touching the products in real life, so the short list for each category. And probably kind of for me, there were a couple of great things about that day in terms of actually getting to see lots of new products. So for me, it's always we're involved because we actually get to see lots of stuff in a short space of time, right up against it. It's competition, get to kind of consider with your peers in the industry, you know, what's best in class and what's really exciting people. But it's also just a great day of catching up with, kind of people within the industry, and it kind of tends to be a similar band of kind of stalwarts who've done it year after year, and then some great new additions, people getting involved, and kind of the talk on the day and kind of chatting through, you know, how you're scoring things and what's standing out to you and why is often really interesting in terms of how differently someone from a different retailer might look at a product and what the important elements of what makes a good gift is to them. And I think that's where the association is really good at getting a really wide spread of judges. So
yeah, there's 50 of you, aren't there, this year, I think, or yeah, what, 60 even?
Something like that. Great. So you get a really good cross-section of industry to, you know, make sure we're not putting out things that, you know, might be amazing in a John Lewis world, but maybe not across the diversity of the industry. But usually if it's good, it's good for everyone. So there's definitely been some real good stuff come through in the past few years I've been doing it.
And have you actually taken products that you've discovered through the Gift of the Year through to the shelves of John Lewis? Has that happened in the past?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we're always quite lucky that a lot pops up in the selections that we've kind of already seen and know about, but there's always definitely new brands that start to come through. And I definitely encourage people as a really easy way of getting new things in front of quite a big group of people, because, you know, actually it's, as I said, now we're looking through the majority of submissions to make shortlisting. So, you know, even if something's not quite ended up in the right category, it's still going to be something that we've seen and thought, oh, okay, that's interesting. It might not be something I'd shortlist, but actually I'm going to go and look on that brand's website, or I'm going to go and try and track them down because I wonder what else they might do. So yeah, it's a really great way, and part of why we do it in supporting the Giftware Association. There's also a very kind of important task for us in there of being able to see what's new quite quickly. So it's a very useful day normally, but obviously this year it will be more of a virtual event, but still a great process.
So Sarah, you mentioned when we were talking about Gift of the Year, that it's a great way for suppliers to get in front of you. And I think, you know, realistically thinking about, you know, getting a product on John Lewis shelves or Waitrose shelves. You know, that has for a lot of our listeners, maybe for anyone really, is it's kind of one of, I don't know if you say one of, the kind of holy grails of product placement. And I know that the suppliers listening to the podcast would love if I was to try and get you to help us out a little bit more with how to get products in front of someone like you. So not necessarily just you, but, you know, buyers across the industry. We know about trade shows. We know about meet the buyer events. Those are the things that we all know we love attending and doing and getting involved in. But what else is there? What can people do to try and show you their products? How do you find that next kind of big hitter for you?
Yeah, so for me, a lot of it is often about us looking in probably less obvious places or maybe obvious in where we live in now, but kind of seeing what's happening on social media. We're all probably slightly addicted, but, yeah, you know, things that might pop up on Instagram feeds or Pinterest, that kind of thing. If any brand's got a decent social media profile, they're active with it. You know, it does tend to surface itself, and if we've got a specific something or other we're looking for, you know, the use of pertinent hashtags and the dark art of how you do good social media definitely works. A couple of years ago now, one of my buying assistants was working on a jigsaw puzzle category, and purely with the hashtag jigsaw she found a new brand.
Wow,
so
that's great to know.
Yeah, and it's I always think it's a far better process of us being the ones that approach a brand. Because I think from the brand point of view, then they definitely know we're interested. It's quite hard from sort of almost a cold calling approach, you know, when someone's managed to track you down. It's less probably of a hit rate that we find someone that approaches us where we go, oh, actually, yeah, that's really good. It tends to be when we're looking about, so, you know, we'll often scout through marketplace type websites. So Etsy's not on the high streets as well when people are just starting out. So it's really interesting to see emerging businesses on those kind of platforms.
Do you know, I'm so pleased to hear you talk about these kind of methods. You know, as a marketer, you do second guess yourself sometimes. The world of social media is a murky one. You know, and you called it the dark art. It really is. But it's, you know, it's one that we believe in.
Probably one thing more recently for us as well, we've started to do is working with the Great British Exchange on a shop pop-up program. So we're really conscious of, we don't as a big retailer necessarily always have capacity to take on small brands, and we don't always have capacity in every shop to have a brand that has a local or cultural relevance. And actually this program now allows brands to book a week or 2 weeks to come into specific shops and sell their wares with us for a week.
Do they need to approach the Great British Exchange in order to become part of that? Is that the route, or is it a different way around?
Yeah, the GBE have a brilliant website. If you search for that, we're specific for the pop-up, and you can make your application on there to be part of it. Then you come to myself or a couple of my colleagues for approval. But generally we're quite nice and allow most people the opportunity to come and work with us. And then depending on wherever your local John Lewis is, if the team there pick up on it and kind of want you to come and work with them for a week, they take it from there. So it's been really, really great to see that evolve, and the different brands that have gone in, a real eclectic mix. So, you know, it can be anything and everything. As long as you're prepared to come and do mucking and do a week with us in one of our shops, then you're more than welcome to apply.
Well, if there is a supplier out there that isn't willing to do that, I'd eat my hat, because it sounds like an amazing, amazing opportunity. I've had a quick Google, and I believe the website is popup.thegbexchange.com. That's popup.thegbexchange.com. So that's where our listeners can head to. Fantastic stuff. Well, look, Sarah, you've given us all your secrets. It's very simple. To any suppliers out there, if you want to get in front of buyers like Sarah and her wonderful team, do gift of the year, get involved with the GA, get on your social media, make sure that you're doing fantastic photography, and maybe you as a marketing expert to help you with your hashtags. hint, hint, you know, I'm here. just call me. And Etsy, not on the high street, those kind of marketplace style websites, and find the GB Exchange website. See if you can do what Ixia did and become a supplier. Amazing stuff. Easy. I might just get myself a product, do it myself.
Yeah. And all we need now is a crystal ball and then all would be well.
Wonderful stuff. Well, thank you so much, Sarah, for joining me today. And would you want to shout out any of your team? I'm sure you're going to share this with them. Any particular thanks this year? Or are there too many to thank?
There are a few of them. There's 10 of them. Well, 10 of us in totality in our immediate team. But yeah, I think you've got Lucy, Rosie and Katie, and then Lauren and Andrea, the immediate buying team, who've been hardworking all year, especially as Jigsaw puzzles became the most popular thing known to man. Poor Alistair on our merchandising team, I don't think has ever placed as many orders for jigsaws in his life. So it's been an interesting one. But yeah, it's a great bunch. And we've got through Google Meets and Hangouts and Zoom calls together this year, which has been a new world, but everyone's embraced it really brilliantly.
Oh, good stuff. Big up the buyers. Well, thank you also, of course, to our listeners for joining us today. Don't forget to follow us on our social media channels. You can find all the links in the show notes. Thank you to the Giftware Association for supporting this podcast. Find them at ga-uk.org. And if you'd like to talk to me directly, then head to alexryanuk.com. Thank you again for your time, Sarah. Any final words for our listeners? A festive joke? Do you want to sing a song? No, everyone's face goes blank when I do this bit at the end.
If only I'd been prepared. Just bring on 2021, I suppose, for me.
Absolutely. Well, maybe you can join us again in 2021. Let us know whether you picked the winners for Gift of the Year. Did you back the right horse? And come prepared with a hilarious joke. That'd be lovely.
Good stuff.
Thank you. Have a safe and productive week, you and the listeners, and we'll see you next episode. Thanks. Bye-bye.